Great. So we're reading Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 to 27. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2-drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt." Jesus said to him, "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." And this is the word of the Lord. Let me pray as we think about this passage. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We ask that we can come humbly to it and listen to it and think about it deeply. Please challenge us and convince us of your truths. Amen. Great. So what do followers of Jesus owe God? And that's the question we'll be thinking about today. What do followers of Jesus owe God? If you're a follower of Jesus, what do we actually owe him? What do we owe God? Do we owe God anything? I actually gave to some of the children as they walked in banknotes. Do you want to hold it up? Hold it up if you've got a banknote. Can you tell me whose face it has on it? It has my face on it. That's right. If we bring up the slide, there is a picture of a note from the Bank of Greece. That's what I'm owed. That's my money. Anyone who has it owes me that money. But you can keep it for now. If you take the slide off screen, thank you. If you have something of someone else's, you owe them it. You owe them what you have. And we're thinking about today, do we owe God anything? Do we have anything that we owe him? And our text today will actually give us that answer. So let's jump in. We're going to read from verse 22 again. It says, "When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life.' And the disciples were filled with grief." So firstly today, I'll have it on the screen. Firstly today, we see that Jesus' death is really important. Jesus' death is really important. So Jesus, he arrives at this place called Galilee, and he's already told his disciples in Matthew that he's going to die. Jesus has to die. He's told them that already, and they got upset, and he's told them again that he's going to die, and they've got upset again. But he will rise again, and he says that, but they're still upset. This is something that Jesus has to do as part of his mission on earth. You may be wondering, though, why is Jesus mentioning his death and resurrection again? Actually, Jesus mentions it at 3 times in this book, just within a few chapters. And Matthew's reported it 3 times. And we've been thinking a lot recently of how we read God's word. And we've got different groups. So we have Sunday school where we look at the Bible together. Sundays we look at it together. In growth groups we look at it together. And we've been thinking a lot about if something is shown a few times, if it's repeated, you might be wondering, why is it there? If Jesus said it 3 times and Matthew wrote it 3 times, then when we see it, we have to think it must be quite important. Jesus' death, which the disciples are sad to hear about, must be important then. So we should keep in mind, as we read through the rest of this section, But we've just read that Jesus has predicted that he's going to die again. We want to read the next bit, thinking about Jesus's death and if it's connected, as it might be a bit random if it's just there on its own. So Jesus's death is really important. Let's carry on reading, though. What comes straight after him mentioning his death? We'll read from verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, which is in Galilee, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said. So they've arrived to a place called Capernaum, which I said is in Galilee, where they already were. And some men come and they ask for money for a temple tax. It's a bit weird. At this time, what it actually was that all the Jews, or most of the Jews, paid towards the upkeep of the temple. They paid towards the temple so that they can carry on working there, so that sacrifices can continue. They wanted to look after the temple because it was how the Jewish nation related to God. So some men come along and they ask if Jesus pays this tax. Will Jesus pay the temple tax? And they're going and asking Jesus if his disciples will pay the temple tax, like all the other Jews. And Peter says, yes. I think Peter just assumes they should. But what does Jesus say? He says a very strange thing to Peter when Peter gets back. So when Peter came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first and said, "Who do the kings of the earth collect duty or taxes from? From their own children or from others?" It's an odd question. He asks about kings and children and other people. What Jesus is saying is that only certain people pay taxes. A king won't make his children pay taxes, but everyone else in the kingdom will pay taxes. So the son of the king owes nothing to the king. And that's our second point today. God's son, Jesus, owes God nothing. God's son, Jesus, owes God nothing. I gave some of you notes. I'd like to collect them now. Can you bring me my my notes with my face on? Because you owe me that money. Oh, thank you so much, Claude. Who else has got one of these to bring me? Thank you very much. I've taken my tax. That is my money. I've taken what is mine. Who owes me tax? Those people owe me tax because it was my money. They owed me it. You see, these are Reese notes. I am owed my money because it's mine. If you owe someone money, you give it to them. If you have something that is someone else's, you give it to them. And we pay taxes to the government, because we are under the government's rule. So, a bit like I'm collecting the money that I was owed, collectors of the temple tax came along to collect what the Jews owed to God. But Jesus is saying that only certain people pay taxes. Jesus is saying that children of rulers don't pay taxes. Can we have this next slide up, please? So if you see here, the owner of the kingdom is the king. Who doesn't pay taxes? Children of the king. Who pays taxes? Everyone else. In old times, when there were kings and princes who actually ruled lands, not like today, but not like our country's day where the government are in control, but the children of the king didn't have to pay taxes. It's a bit like you, who lives at home with their mum or dad? Put your hand up if you live, I don't, but put your hand up if you live at home with your mum or dad. Every child under the age of 16 should be putting their hand up. Great. Do any of you pay rent? Desiree, you do not pay rent. You don't pay rent because you're living under your mum or dad's roof. If you have a spare room and I was to move in, I was to live in that room, I'd probably have to pay your parents because I'm not their child. The kings in the old day made everyone pay, a bit like rent, to be in the kingdom, but their children obviously didn't have to pay. But why is Jesus talking about kings and their children? And it's because it comes straight after Peter was asked if they would pay the temple tax. Do you know who the king of the temple is? Who the temple was made for? It was made for God. God is the king of the temple. If we have the next slide up, the owner of the temple is God. Jesus is saying that he is God's son, and as the son of the king, he doesn't need to pay. But what's also incredible is that he's saying that everyone who pays, so all the Jews who pay, they're not actually children of God. And we have the next two slides as well, please. Who doesn't pay taxes? Children of God. Who pays taxes? Everyone else. If you're God's son or daughter, you don't need to pay God. You don't owe him anything. Jesus is revealing that he owes God nothing because he's the son of God. But the great thing about this passage is that Jesus isn't the only son of God. He's not the only child of God. The passage shows us that his followers are also children of God. If we take this slide, great, thank you. Jesus has made it clear that he doesn't need to pay to the temple because he's God's son. However, he says, we'll pay them anyway, so we don't need to offend them. There's no point causing a problem, so we'll pay them. And let's read from verse 27. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch and open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. This is incredible. Jesus makes a coin appear in a fish. It's pretty incredible. Could you imagine? I went to the fish market and brought a fish, and in its mouth was a coin. Could you imagine that? It'd be pretty incredible. I've got a fish myself. Got a fish. This fish is called Dory. Could you imagine? I stuck my hand in Dory's mouth after catching Dory, and then I had a coin. Could you imagine? That'd be incredible, wouldn't it? And Jesus has told Peter to go to the lake, throw a fishing rod in. The first fish he got had exactly enough. The coin was worth exactly enough to pay for both of them, for Jesus and Peter's tax fee. It's pretty incredible. But it is very strange. This is a really strange part of the Bible, actually. Because a good question to ask is, when there's a miracle, is what is it showing us? And these last verses are quite tricky. They're very odd. We see here that Jesus causes a miracle to happen. And not actually everyone is clear what is being shown here. Jesus is powerful. Jesus does provide, but these things have already been shown in Matthew. And it's a tricky part of Matthew. I don't fully understand the passage. And this third point today is true in the Bible. I think this is what this last bit of the section is showing us. And it is a true point, but we can see from the Bible. But it is a very tricky couple of verses. But I think what we're seeing is that Jesus' death makes us children of God. So last Easter day, we see that Jesus' death makes us children of God. So did you notice that in the fish, it wasn't just enough for Jesus, but there was enough for Peter too to pay for his tax. Jesus is paying for him. He is miraculously paying for Peter. And if we remember, at the beginning of our section, we had the second prediction of Jesus' death and resurrection. We saw that it's really important, and it's just before this section, so we need to keep it in our head as we read through. And if we think back to earlier in Matthew as well, we found out that the temple is actually going to go away. It won't be needed anymore, because Jesus will do the job of giving us a relationship with God. How will he do it? How can we be children of God? How will he provide what we need to be in a relationship with God? It's through his death. The second prediction of Jesus' death is at the beginning of this section. Jesus' death is the reason they don't need to pay the temple tax anymore. God's son makes us children of God by his death. Jesus' death has paid God that we can now be children of God. And this fits in with the next chapter, which uses lots of children language. Jesus in the next chapter is going to say lots about being children of God. We can be children of God because of Jesus. Jesus' death pays the tax that we owe to God. We owe God so much because of our sin, and Jesus pays it. By a miracle, Jesus paid for Peter out of fish. By a miracle, Jesus' death and resurrection pays for us. The temple was the way they had a relationship with God, or a connection in some ways, so they paid a tax, but it wasn't good enough. Because as we see, they were paying, which showed they weren't children of God. But when Jesus dies, as he has predicted, he pays the price for Peter and people like you and me, so that we can have a relationship with God. There's a huge price to pay for sin. The price is death and separation from God. And Jesus paid that price through his death. He makes us children of God. What do you owe God? You owe God so much if you're not a Christian, if you don't follow Jesus. What do followers of Jesus owe God? What do we owe God? Absolutely nothing because of Jesus. Absolutely nothing because of Jesus' death. Because Christ died for me, I can pray to our Father. I'm a son of God because Jesus has paid the price. As some of you walked in, some of the kids walked in, and as you saw, they came up to me with my Reese notes. They owed me that. And they owed me them, and they gave them back. And with God, we could never pay what we owed. And the only way was us to be punished. And Jesus paid what was owed. He paid the price, the perfect Son of God, that we may be called sons of God. We who trust in Jesus can be called children of God, and we owe him nothing. Isn't it wonderful? We're God's children if we trust in Jesus. We are like a child of God, like the kings who wouldn't take anything off of their children. We owe God nothing now, because he is our king and we are his children. Now, this doesn't mean we now do what we want. We don't do nothing for the gospel. We don't do anything for God. We live for God because we have a relationship with him. We listen to God and obey him because we have a relationship with him, because he's our Father. We listen to God and obey him because we are his children and he loves us. It's the same for if you give to church. We don't give to church because we owe God. We can never pay enough to owe him. In the Old Testament, they gave a tenth of their wage. That was a Jewish system. That isn't the case anymore. We don't owe God. But we give to church because we love God as our Father. And we want more people in Dagenham to know of God's love for his children. The only way people will know God as Father is if they trust in Jesus as the one who has paid the price. We tell people about Jesus at school, at work, because we want them to be God's children too. Isn't it so much more wonderful to love God and do things for him because we know that he loves us? Not because we owe him, but because we owe him nothing. It's freeing. What do followers of Jesus owe God? Absolutely nothing, because Jesus' death has made us children of God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can pray to you, that we can speak to you as children of, as your children. And we thank you that Jesus showed that he is the Son of God, and that through him, we are made children of God when we trust in him. We ask that we would think of this every day and be reminded of it, and we would live for you because of the relationship we now have. Amen.